Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Courage to Create is a compact work of existential psychology and cultural criticism, in which Rollo May examines creativity as a basic expression of human being rather than a specialized talent or recreational skill. Written as a series of essays, it combines psychology, philosophy, art, and mythology to ask why genuine creation requires risk. May argues that creative action begins when a person confronts uncertainty, resists conformity, and gives form to an inner perception in relation to the world. The book is not a manual of techniques for producing art. Instead, it investigates the conditions that make originality possible, including anxiety, freedom, encounter, unconscious insight, and commitment to form. Its audience includes artists, writers, students of psychology, and readers interested in how meaning emerges through creative struggle. May presents creativity as a serious human responsibility, one tied to courage because every new act challenges established habits, inherited assumptions, and the fear of failure or non-being. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, creativity as a fundamental expression of being. A central claim of the courage to create is that creativity is not limited to the arts or to people conventionally labeled gifted. May treats it as a fundamental human capacity through which individuals express existence, shape meaning, and participate in culture. This view shifts creativity away from leisure, entertainment, or self-decoration and places it at the center of psychological and existential life. To create is to bring something into form that did not previously exist in that way, whether in painting, science, ethical action, personal identity, or social thought. May is especially interested in the seriousness of this act. Creation requires a person to move beyond imitation and respond to a real situation with originality. That response is never purely private, because it enters a world of values, traditions, limits, and other people. The creative act, therefore, becomes a way of affirming being against passivity. May connects originality with responsibility, since new forms can disrupt inherited patterns and expose the creator to judgment. Creativity is valuable not because it guarantees success, but because it is one of the clearest ways human beings resist stagnation and participate actively in their own becoming. Secondly, courage is action within anxiety rather than freedom from fear. May defines creative courage not as confidence without fear, but as the capacity to act while fear, doubt, and insecurity remain present. This distinction is important because it prevents creativity from being romanticized as effortless spontaneity. In his account, anxiety is built into creation because the creator moves towards something not yet secured by precedent. A new idea, image, theory, or form has no complete guarantee before it is made. The person creating must tolerate ambiguity and possible failure long enough for the work to emerge. May links this anxiety to existential freedom. Human beings can choose among possibilities, but that freedom also exposes them to uncertainty and responsibility. Avoiding anxiety by conforming may feel safer, yet it weakens the possibility of authentic creation. The book therefore treats anxiety as a signal of contact with the unknown rather than merely a symptom to be eliminated. This does not mean suffering is automatically productive. May is more precise than that. Anxiety becomes creative only when it is held, worked through, and given shape. Courage is the disciplined willingness to remain in that tension without retreating into imitation, dogmatism, or paralysis. Thirdly, the creative encounter between person, material, and world. One of the most distinctive ideas in the book is May's emphasis on encounter. Creativity does not arise simply from internal fantasy or from technical skill applied mechanically. It emerges when a person meets a subject, material, problem, or cultural situation with intensity and commitment. This encounter may involve a painter and a canvas, a scientist and a puzzling phenomenon, a writer and language, or an individual and a moral conflict. May uses the concept to explain why genuine creativity feels absorbing and demanding. The creator is not merely imposing a private mood onto passive material. The material pushes back through its limits, possibilities, and requirements. A poem has the resistance of language, a scientific theory has the resistance of evidence, and a social vision has the resistance of history and institutions. This interaction gives the creative act depth. It also explains why May resists reducing creativity to self-expression alone. Expression matters, but it becomes creative only through disciplined engagement with something outside the self. Encounter joins passion and attention. It requires openness to being changed by what one meets, while also bringing enough intention to shape the meeting into a form that can be shared. Fourthly, unconscious insight as a source that still requires form. May gives serious attention to the unconscious, but he does not present creativity as a simple release of hidden impulses. He sees unconscious material as a source of images, intuitions, tensions, and possibilities that can exceed conscious planning. creative breakthroughs often occur after a period of concentrated concern, when something previously unarticulated becomes available to awareness. Yet May avoids treating this process as magical or automatic. The unconscious contributes energy and symbolic depth, but the creator must still recognize, test, and shape what emerges. This balance is essential to the book. If creativity were only conscious control, it would become rigid and predictable. If it were only unconscious eruption, it would lack communicable form. May is interested in the movement between these poles. The creator must be receptive enough to hear what comes from beneath deliberate thought, while also disciplined enough to transform it into a painting, argument, design, or action. This view makes creativity both mysterious and practical in a broad sense. It respects the role of inspiration without reducing the work to inspiration. The unconscious offers raw possibility, but form gives that possibility durability, clarity, and cultural meaning. Lastly, form, limits, and resistance as conditions of originality. The courage to create gives unusual weight to limits. May does not treat obstacles as external inconveniences that simply block creativity. He argues that resistance can help generate form. Every medium, tradition, social condition, and personal limitation creates boundaries within which the creator must work. These boundaries can be frustrating, but they also prevent creativity from dissolving into vague impulse. A form becomes meaningful because it selects, orders, excludes, and intensifies. May is especially concerned with the relation between freedom and structure. Freedom without form remains unrealized possibility, while form without freedom becomes mere convention. Creative work requires a living tension between the two. This is why rebellion alone is insufficient. The creator may need to resist conformity, dogma, and dead habits, but the act of resistance must lead to a new structure capable of carrying meaning. May also recognizes that culture often tries to domesticate or control creativity because new forms threaten established authority. The creative person therefore faces both inner and outer resistance. Rather than viewing limits as proof that creation is impossible, May presents them as the field in which originality becomes concrete. In conclusion, The Courage to Create is best suited for readers who want a reflective account of creativity rather than a step-by-step productivity system. Artists, writers, designers, scholars, therapists, and students of existential thought will find it especially useful, but its argument is broad enough for anyone interested in originality, anxiety, and meaning. The practical benefit of the book lies in its reframing of creative difficulty. Fear, doubt, resistance, and uncertainty are not treated as signs that one lacks talent. They are presented as conditions that often accompany serious engagement with new possibility. Intellectually, the book offers a bridge between psychology and the humanities, showing how creativity involves unconscious life, cultural tension, ethical responsibility, and disciplined form. Compared with many contemporary books on creativity, it stands out by refusing quick formulas. May is less concerned with habits, brainstorming methods, or marketable innovation than with the existential cost of making something genuinely new. That makes the book more demanding, but also more durable. Its value is in clarifying why creative work matters beyond personal achievement. It presents creation as a way of confronting non-being, resisting conformity, and giving meaningful shape to human freedom. If you would like to support Rollo May, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.